All right. We are in Colossians chapter 2. Our theme verse, our study is called Mature in Christ. Our theme verse, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So, as I repeat every Sunday, the purpose of our study, purpose of us coming together in general, is that all of us would grow up and become more mature in Christ, to grow up in Christ. We are in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15. We're kind of running out of time already this morning, so we're not going to get very far. I already know that. But we're basically starting in verse 8. If you saw if any of you printed off the outline that I sent out, I sent out this outline, I think, Friday morning or Thursday morning, one morning, and I thought I had it perfect. I thought it was, and then this morning I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, there's at least two mistakes I've seen. So I changed around and resent it out. It's amazing how you can miss things like that. But we're basically starting in Colossians chapter 2 in verse 8. Anyone want to grab a microphone? And by the way, this is not a lecture. This is a study, right? So everyone, whether you're a brother or a sister or young or old or a visitor or a regular, doesn't matter who you are, everyone is welcome to grab a microphone we've got brothers back there with microphones. I got one up here, so all of you are welcome to participate. No one needs to feel left out. This is a study of the Word of God, and we all can participate. So I welcome that participation. First of all, I need a volunteer. We want to read the text, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15. Somebody want to grab a microphone and read these verses for us. You can read it from the screen, or you can read it from your Bible, or recite it from memory, whatever you like. Got a volunteer? How about the Matt?
How is that, verse 8 through 15?
Start in verse 6. We'll start in verse 6. First, the verses tie in a little bit as well.
As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through the philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by the putting off of the body of the skins of the flesh for the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it.
Thank you. Let's pause and pray. Is there a volunteer to lead us in prayer? Somebody want to pray this morning before we start our discussion? Anybody? How about Brother Gary? This thing isn't coming on. I don't know. There's no light. I don't know if that means anything or not. Brother Gary, would you lead us in prayer?
Sure.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, let's pray. Yes, Father, we thank you, Lord. You are a great God, and we adore you this morning, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the scriptures. We thank you for what is before us and the lesson we are about to look at in the scriptures, if we can call it a lesson, Lord, and many lessons you teach us in life. And we're glad for that. We're glad that you draw us to yourself and that you do care for us. We do pray for your presence here. We believe your presence is here. Father, we thank you for it. Lord, without you, without your Holy Spirit being here, it would be useless for us to be here. We would have no understanding in the scriptures. And we pray this morning that through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, that you would give us understanding and what these scriptures do mean, Father, for us, and that it may help us to see, Father, open our eyes to truth, righteousness, godliness, Father. Help us to see. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks. All right, we're starting in verse number 8. And Paul says to the Colossians, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit." So the first question I have is, what is philosophy and empty deceit? First of all, philosophy. What is philosophy? Who knows what that is? Any philosophers here?
I don't really know, but I think the way I understand it, or what I think it is figuring things out and finding the explanations for things and the reasons.
So Lawrence thinks it's figuring things out. What do you think? Anybody else want to comment on philosophy? See, this is why we study the Bible, because we want to find out, it's easy to read through the Bible and say, and we come to a big word and we just sort of skim through it and sort of a vague idea somewhere, it's sort of something, but and someone actually asks us and we're like, I'm not quite sure what that is. Whether or not he knows.
I don't know, I'm a bit like Lawrence, but normally philosophers are the thinking heads of a nation.
Thinking heads of a nation, okay.
If you go back to the early philosophers of America, they were the men who brought morality into the country without God. Often that's what they do. They preach the morals of Scripture without the power of God.
Okay. Heads of nations that preach the preach morality without God. All right. So that's a little bit, that's definitely a philosophy. So that certainly falls into the category of philosophy. What? Anyone else? Wow! I got to wake you guys up. No one's being very brave today. Surely somebody got up with it, John. At the very least, you got a dictionary on your smartphone.
Yeah, I was going to admit too that I was reading it from a dictionary, but. Love and pursuit of wisdom by intellectual means and moral self-discipline.
All right, thank you for that. I found this quote from a message. If you look at the email I sent this morning, there's a message by John MacArthur on the sub, basically explaining these verses. And he says the word philosophy is from two Greek words, that is philio and sophia. Philio means to love, and sophia means wisdom. Philosophy is the love of wisdom. So that sounds good. What's the problem with that? Why is Paul saying, be careful, be careful? Why? Well, what's the problem with loving wisdom? Darlene?
Doesn't gain anything if God is not in it.
Right, right. There's no value if it's not from God, right? Anyone else? Well, there we
go. It's maybe referring to the fact that there's two kinds of wisdom.
Two kinds of wisdom. Okay, and what would those two kinds be?
The wisdom of God and the wisdom of man.
All right, that's right. God's wisdom and man's wisdom. So what kind of wisdom do you think that Paul was referring to here when he spoke of, avoid philosophy? What wisdom is he talking about? George?
The end of the verse says, not according to Christ.
Not according to Christ, that's right. It's man's wisdom, right? And another key thing of philosophy? Wisdom, but what do the philosophers that are pursuing wisdom, what's the other main ingredients that is part of it? Anyone else? Anyone? What's a key word? It's completely opposite of anything to do with Christ, with God. It is, Tom?
Often there's a big element of humanism or humanistic theology, lifting mm-hmm. yourself up by your own bootstraps.
Yes, that's right, absolutely. It's humanism, or it's, wisdom on our terms, right? What the philosopher does is looks around and we see the world, we see people, we see what we see, right? And we try to figure out, where did we come from? How did we get here? Where are we going? What's the purpose in life? And they come up with rational explanations. Rational, that's the key word, rational. A philosopher is someone that tries to rationalize everything. And we do these bad things because we're not educated properly. If we could sit this person down and we could put them through the proper class in the correct college with a proper professor, and they could be informed to the proper level, then they'd be a better person, right? That's rationalism. You know, there's always a reason. It's the reason you are a thief is because something happened when you were 10 years old that made you like that. Or that's, you know, there's always, you know, it's rationalizing problems, right? Rationalizing your life. And Paul says, don't do that. Don't go back to rationalization. We're talking about, you know, philosophy. And if you want to know more about that, that's very it's very interesting in that link I sent you on John MacArthur's, it's actually printed out, and I was sort of reading through that, and he says, you can't discover truth by rationalism. Things that God has prepared for them that love him, like we read about in Corinthians, God has revealed them to the Christians by his Spirit. So you and I, we find truth in the Word of God. It is God's Word to us. We're not going to get it by rationalizing anything. You know, the pursuit of wisdom in a worldly sense, in a physical sense, will not produce truth. Okay, any more thoughts on philosophy? Anything you want to add to that? We think of philosophy as the love of wisdom and a rational approach to man's wisdom, rationalizing the universe, rationalizing morality. You know, morality. You know, the whole. You know, it's. I was just talking to on our trip. I was talking to a brother in Pennsylvania. We talked about the hypocrisy of the leaders of our land. You know, there's certain sins that they're defending and saying it's okay. You should do that. But then there's another sin that's equally as sinful, but you get in jail for that. You go to jail for that, right? The hypocrisy there's no basis. The philosophy, it depends who you talk to. One philosopher says, oh, that's fine, you can do that. The other guy says, no, you can't do that. You go to jail for that. So it all depends on, it's all based on human wisdom, right? And you can't, you know, the truth is found in God, not in men. Any other comments on philosophy? Or if something you want to throw in there as we think of the man's love of wisdom. Empty deceit. He says, take you captive. See, no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. I think it would probably be better just to read that, you know, philosophy is empty deceit, maybe. That might be a more correct way of understanding it. But what's that? What is empty deceit? He said, I discovered that the word deceit is actually the original word means fish hook. So what do you think? What do you think? How do you think that, you know, deceit and fish hook are connected? When you go fishing, you know, aren't you being a? Do you have your hand up, Brother John? Go ahead.
Well, deceit is you deceive someone with maybe offering them something and it's empty. So right. Empty promise.
Empty promise, yeah. It's kind of like, you know, the connection I see with a fish hook is when you go fishing, aren't you a master deceiver? You're holding this, you get this hook, this real fancy, this hook, you know, you have a string on the end and you put some kind of big juicy worm on it or a little minnow, something on the hook, right? And you dangle it in the water in front of the fish. And you are just being a very deceptive person to that fish. Because the fish comes along, and he's like, oh, look at that, it looks so good, I'm so hungry. And he takes a big bite, and you hook him. And it was fake. It wasn't breakfast, it was just bait. You know, and what Paul is saying, I think, is this: it's empty. It's empty to see. The philosophy, the wisdom of men is, it's empty. It looks good. It looks like a rational explanation. It makes sense. But when you really bite into it, when you get down to it, it's nothing's there. It's just the wisdom of men that provides no answers to the predicament that you and I are in as people, right? As humans, outside of Christ, we are in a very desperate need of help and hope, and the philosophy of men will not provide it. And you know, this looks good. You know, you listen to a guy talk, and he sounds good, he has all these reasons and explanations, and, you know, on and on they go. But when you really get down to it, it's a fish hook. It will not go. Like Paul says, you will be taken captive. Anyone else? Sorry, I'm lecturing more than I would like. Please, don't let me.
I have a question for you. If you read that statement in reverse, is there such a thing as deceit that's full? Bible saying there's empty deceit. Is there such a thing as full deceit?
Full, like deceit.
Well, that deceit is empty. Opposite of empty is full.
Like a deceit that...
Well, I don't know. He's making this statement there that there's empty deceit.
Full deceit. Empty deceit, full. So empty, full. What do you think? I don't know. I have no idea. You're saying more about it?
Well, I'm just asking the question. Because deception is when you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived.
Right.
Or if you know you're deceived, then you're not. You're just ignorant or agnostic or something.
Right, yeah.
But you look at Eve in the Garden of Eden, the promise to her was full, more.
A deceit that actually has some body to it. So there's actually makes it more than makes sense. It maybe even works.
Yeah, and that's why I think those two statements are connected.
Right.
The philosophy puts content to the emptiness, and you wind up with deception.
Right.
That's why I think that statement is one statement.
Right. Philosophy and empty deceit. We can't separate the two.
Yeah. Satan was a philosopher to Eve, and she wound up to being deceived.
Right.
I don't think you can be full and be deceived. You'll wind up always being empty.
Right. Lil Wayne?
You were saying something about the fish being like a fish. We were in desperate need, and really, there wasn't breakfast being offered. Just in corresponds with that, when we look at it in the light from Eve, she wasn't really in desperate need. She seemed to think she was, but she had, and that's often where we are too. We have everything we need when we just look around because we think we want more.
So sometimes the needs that we think we have aren't as serious or urgent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. I mean, Satan is going to use anything he can to deceive us, right? Like, he wants to trap us in any way that he can. I think we're back to what Ron said about, the power of the deception is also in the fact that it seems so logical. Like, it seems, I have a hard time grasping the fact that it could be a full deception, like Rod mentioned. It seems like it has to be an empty deception, an empty deceit, or an empty promise, but it could appear full, right? And for some time, because the power of a false teaching is the power of it, or the attraction of it, is it seems so good, it seems so right. He seems so right on, but when you really look at where it's leading, where it's taking you, that the impact it's having on your life, that's when the problem arises. Anyone else? Brother Abe?
When you go fishing with worms, part of it is truth. The fish sees the worm and he knows that's good to eat. What he doesn't know is that there's untruth underneath it.
Yeah, that's true. The worm's real, at least most times, or sometimes. There are even fake worms. You go fishing with fake worms? it's true. There is. It looks real because it is real in some regards. But there's a trap beneath the surface. So we hardly have any time left. But let's flesh that out a little bit in this whole thing. How do we face this in a practical way in our generation? You know, like the Colossians obviously faced this in their time, 2,000 years ago, in their culture. But how do we face it today in our generation as followers of Jesus in your community, in your workplace, in our church? How is that hook dangling before us with that juicy worm on it? What are things that we face? that we could be, Paul says, be careful. You are going to be taken captive by philosophy and empty deceit. How could this happen to us? How is this presented in your life? Anyone?
I have identified in my life, I would probably say the fish hoax are presented through maybe books or messages or music.
Mm-hmm. Books or messages or music? But what's the message? What are the messages that you know, that's the medium or the avenue, the road it comes on? But what are the specific messages? Well, John?
Not sure how to sum it up, but I would say, in a nutshell, anything that shows me a way to become a whole man or full or complete or overcome a problem or or an issue in my life other than through faith and walking with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That is absolutely true in a nutshell. Anything that replaces, you know, you are, he says later on in the next, further down, you've been filled in him. The idea of we are complete in Christ. He is all we need. You know, and we don't need, you know, another do-it-yourself help book, you know, another, you know, self-help book to figure out, you know, how I can get free from this bondage and this problem and how I can overcome this thing. It's, you know, Jesus is the answer. And I think we'll find out more, Paul. You know, one of the things that could have been happening in the, you know, the, we'll talk about later on, the elementary, he talks about the elementary spirits of the world or the rudiments of this world. And one thing that I could have meant, among other things, is actually, you know, angels and, you know, dark angels, evil spirits. And it's almost like there was false teachers coming into the church in Colossae saying, you know, we got the secret ingredient, you know, we know the secret code or the secret message of how Jesus can help you get free from, you know, there was you know, a lot of astrology going on at that time, that people look to stars to give them direction in their lives. Astrology is when you look to the stars and make decisions based on the stars. And it was a very common thing in those days in their pagan culture. And so there was Christians saying, you know, that's bondage. That's bondage. So we got this secret, you know, it's Jesus, but it's not just Jesus. You got to add this secret message that we got into it to really get yourself free. And Paul's like, no, it's Jesus. Jesus is the answer. You're complete in him, and follow him. Don't be taken back and getting captive by some of these ideas that are Jesus plus the secret code or Jesus plus whatever. Anyone else want to comment on some of the dangers or the philosophies we might face in our time? Brother Ron?
I'd just like to back up what was said. You know, I sat with a man yesterday who had a tremendous alcohol problem. You know, and there is a temptation there to tell the man, you know, you could use some counseling or, you know, and send them somewhere other than repentance in Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, what's amazing is in the judgment, Jesus divides kind of the Christians up, and some are goats, and he said, you guys did all these things, but I never knew you. And it seems like that might be connected to, you know, we don't, the power of the gospel is dead in our land because we don't preach it. Mm-hmm. And wow, that's made an overstatement. There's people preaching the gospel, but I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. But you know, you have people winding up in the judgment, never realizing that they were philosophers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's kind of.
So the thing you just mentioned about, you know, the problem of alcoholism, Alcoholics Anonymous. So what, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to say, you know, too much, but what could be a fundamental problem with that organization?
Well, you can See, Satan doesn't mind, or at least I found in my life, Satan doesn't mind if I overcome issues in my life on my own. Mm. He'll give me more issues, that's not a problem. But so if you have an, let's say I have an anger problem and so do you, and I have strong resolution and I'm a purposeful man and you are too, so we just decide together we're going to hunker down and stop beating up our wives and yelling at our children, and we overcome that, and we start to feel good about that. Satan can let you do that, but that doesn't mean that you're not deceived. You still don't have the power of God in your life. Satan doesn't mind if you quit drinking, as long as you're deceived into, I don't know, blaspheming his name or something else, you know. And Jesus sets us free from sin. And being I'm talking about Bob now, some of you've heard on Wednesday night, I did go visit him yesterday, and yeah, he's really, he acknowledges the fact that God spared his life. I found out yesterday, I thought there was only 4 people died, it's actually 7 now. So of the 7 people I actually knew there, he's the only one alive. And the numbers keep rolling higher and higher, and he acknowledges that God is sparing his life. Yeah. For a reason, and he acknowledged that he needs Jesus, and that's a powerful thing. And God's going to set him free from alcohol if he cries out to the Lord, and you know, it's he can put into his life what alcohol he's trying to replace with alcohol, and then he'll be a free man. And I think that's what we need to promote and preach. So I just like to underscore what you guys were saying.
Yeah, amen, amen. You know, the I think it cuts right on. You know what, Satan doesn't mind if we overcome sin, as long as we do it in our own strength. But the problem he has, he doesn't want to give us any credit or turn to Christ in any way. And that's the issue. And you know, Paul is telling these people in Colossae that, you know, don't look to the philosophies of men. They're going to only take you captive, you know, again and again and again. But we are complete in Christ. If we turn to Christ in every way, we can be complete in him. All right, well, it's time to close. And but thank you so much for your input this morning. And next week we'll continue on along the same line here. I think the next question I had was, it talks in what are human traditions? And it talks about that in the further in the same verse. According to human tradition. So continuing on the same idea, same line of thought of, you know, philosophies of men, and how can we get ensnared in these philosophies. So come back next week prepared to look further in the Colossians. Thank you so much. God bless.